Extend Christian greetings to each one gathered here this morning. That one that laid down his life for the church, you know that devotional meditation, greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus did that for us. He laid down his life for us, for me and for you. He didn't have to, but he had love for us. And he wanted to make that plan of salvation available to you and to me. Are you availing yourself to it? It is in his name that we greet you this morning. Happy to see those that have braved the weather to come out and to meet together in this way. I trust that it's a heart's desire of you to learn more truths. Not just that it's just the thing to do to go to church. I think it is. It is the thing to do. But I trust there's more in your heart than that. I trust there's a longing in there to learn more of Jesus. To learn more of his truth that's contained in his word. This week we had Thanksgiving, and I don't know if everybody was hoping I would preach another Thanksgiving message or not. We had one last Sunday. I'm not going to. I'm going to take a different detour this morning than a Thanksgiving because we had one last Sunday. I felt led to do a little bit of a character study this morning. And I'm not going to totally do it as a character study, have a message kind of like a character study, and yet it will kind of go down through this man's life and his character. But I've titled the message this, Is It I? Is it I? Who said those words? Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26. I've chosen to use Judas's life this morning. A negative, we oftentimes refer to Judas as something that's negative, and his life just seems so negative, you know. A man that betrayed his Lord. Do we struggle with betrayal this morning? Oh yes, we do. We're going to look at some of this as we go through the message this morning. This message is in contrast to the Sunday school lesson that we had this morning as we think of friendship. Here was Jesus. He was a friend to those. He laid down his life for Judas. I want you to notice as we go through Judas's life and realize that Jesus held out the plan of salvation to him. And what did he do with it? Let's read Matthew chapter 26. I'm going to start reading at verse 20. And we want to pull it from verse 25 is the title of where I want to pull that from. But let's read Matthew chapter 26, verse 20. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. We know this as the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The disciples were gathered together there in that upper room. They were eating there. He sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. There's 12 of them there. He says, one of you are going to betray me. You put yourself in a group of 12 men, and one that you followed all the time, and he seemed to know everything, and he did know everything. And he turns around to those 12 disciples there, and he says, one of you are going to betray me. Place yourself there. Verse 22. And they were exceeding sorrowful and began everyone to them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Would you ask any different question if you were one of those 12? I don't believe so. Lord, is it I? Verse 23. And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. Now I'm going to try to explain this verse a little bit, just so, and as I go down through here, explain. I understand that they ate that way. They had a dish in the center, and they had these these something to dip it out with, and they ate that way. Okay, so it's, I can just see, can you picture with me Jesus as he reaches in to dip himself? It's the one who puts his hand in with me. I believe Judas was there, and the one that did that. The same shall betray me. Verse 24, the Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. A sobering thought. Verse 25, then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said. I'm going to cease reading there. The question comes to us. We know the account, and we're going to read some more of it later as we go through, as we think about Judas and his... Well, let's just go back to verse 14. We need to get a little more picture of Judas. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, What will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. That's the foundation. That's where it started at. Judas was looking at the money. He was looking at the purse that he carried. Thirty pieces of silver. Now the question is, as he said, is it I? Judas knew it was him. And I believe he didn't want to ask with the other disciples, is it I? Because he knew in his heart that he had betrayed Jesus already. So it's a personal question I have for the title this morning. Is it I? And the question, the reason I titled it that is not... I want each and every one of you, and myself included, to look at our lives this morning. Have I betrayed Jesus? Have I sold Jesus for cheap? 30 pieces of silver. So cheap. Is it I? I trust not. But as we look at ourselves this morning in the life of Judas, let's look in at ourselves where we're at. I'd like to look the first part. I've titled it Judas's Betrayal and His Opportunities. Judas's Betrayal and His Opportunities. You know, betrayal is not new to any one of us. It didn't start with Judas. We might say that the Garden of Eden could have been a betrayal at the start. I believe it was. As they betrayed that what God had told them not to do, and they partook of that fruit, and they betrayed God and what He had told them not to do. Joseph, his brothers betrayed him. Ananias and Sapphira, they betrayed their Lord. The disciples, I believe, were partakers in that as well. Verse 56 of this chapter 26. When all this was done, that the scripture of the prophets might be fulfilled, then all the disciples forsook him and fled. They betrayed him. They don't want anything to do with him anymore. Well, we're going to look a little more at that. It wasn't quite totally that way. Because we know Peter followed afar off. And we're going to look at that a little later. But they all forsook him and fled. They didn't want to stay right there and be part of that betrayal. As I look at Judas's betrayal, and we read this account here of them sitting down there eating. I believe this is one more appeal to Judas. People today need to have to understand where they are at in life. We need to look at where we're at in life. Okay? We need to know where we stand. A lukewarm person, it's hard to help. Because they don't feel like they need anything. Think about the church. Don't realize that they're poor, wretched, miserable, blind, naked. You know that church that's in Revelation there. But Jesus came to Judas and he realized it and was telling Judas, Judas, it's you. Is it I? Yes, it's you, Judas. You're in need of something. Well, Judas's opportunity in that betrayal was that he had... Who would have liked to be with them in that upper room? I think every one of us would have enjoyed to be with Jesus there. There was probably more than the 12 that would have enjoyed to be there, but Jesus kept it for the 12. Judas had a special place. He was in an honored place. He was with Jesus and the 12 disciples. And his plan of betrayal was made public. It was brought to the light. He had a choice to make. What was he going to do with it? Well, he knew. He knew as that was handed to him after they had the I don't believe this account had it. I read quite a bit of accounts, but as we know that Judas went out and besought opportunity. He knew where Jesus would be. He knew his favorite place of prayer, that Garden of Gethsemane. He knew that. He knew how Jesus operated and the where he went for refreshment, where he was going to be at. And that's where Jesus went. But Judas had this opportunity. He was on the inside. He was part of Jesus' close followers. That close friendship that should have been there. What happens? I'd like to read verses 47 to 49 at this time. What happens? We see Judas's betrayal here of Jesus and how it happened. In verse 47, while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came. That one that Jesus told that you're going to betray me. And with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. Verse 50, and Jesus said unto him, Friend, whence art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Judas's betrayal involved a kiss. Anyone today that you ask what a kiss means, they would say it means love. Judas used the kiss as a sign of who it was, and it's a sign of love. It was the outward sign, but was it in his heart? No. No. We think of a kiss as a close relationship. As brothers and sisters in the church, we give the holy kiss. A sign that we love our brother and we love our sister and we are concerned about them. We think of a close relationship that goes with it. Did Judas have that close relationship? In betrayal, there's wedges driven in. And he had those in his life. He's betrayed with a kiss. Jesus was betrayed with a kiss by Judas. He went beyond that though. master who was in control of his life. Who had control of his life at this time? John 13:27, and after the sop, Satan entered into him. Who had control of Judas's life? It wasn't Jesus. It wasn't God. Satan had grabbed control. Did this happen all at once? This betrayal? No. No, it didn't. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 12. And we might turn here again a little later. John writes about Judas, and he says this. As we think of Judas's betrayal, John chapter 12, verse 6. We're not going to read all this, but we know that account of that ointment that was poured, that bottle that was broken and poured on Jesus, as Jesus was anointed with that ointment. And this is what Judas said. Verse 4, let's start there. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. We get a glimpse into Judas's life. John calls him a thief. Did he see at different times where Judas reached in and kept a little bit for himself? Or did he see times where Judas was one to not show love to those he met and he swindled them out of a deal? I don't know. But we do know that John calls him a thief. I believe that Judas's backsliding till he came to the betrayal didn't happen all at once. There was some disconnection in his life that started him on that road. I believe Judas tried to follow Christ when he was first called. Some people, like maybe sometimes we look at it and we say, well, Jesus made a mistake when he called Judas. No, I don't believe he did. Jesus chose Judas because he needed Judas in his ministry, but Judas chose to go wrong. So I believe Judas tried to follow Christ. But there was that missing link. There was something that happened that he just couldn't go the whole way. His relationship with Jesus didn't go the whole way. There's something blocking his heart relationship with Jesus. He was never totally sold out for him. Let's put that for us today. Is it I? People today, I can today start on a slow track away from God. Just a little bit here, a little bit there. Nobody knows. Nobody knows where I'm stealing. Nobody knows how I'm not being victorious in my Christian life. Nobody knows it. You know, we don't make oftentimes a quick decision to turn away from God and to throw it all away. But it's usually a slow decline. A slow accumulation of things that, oh, well, that don't matter. We reason it away. It just don't matter. Till finally, we betray Jesus. We didn't mean to go there. We didn't mean to do that, what we did. But there's no convenient stopping point. Judas had that. I believe his life was a slow decline He had become disconnected from Jesus. And it finally resulted in him losing out and betraying our Lord. Well, I want to highlight again what Judas's opportunities were. Jesus called Judas to a high and holy place. He called 12 disciples and he put Judas in there. It wasn't a mistake. He called him to a high and holy place. Judas was following Christ and he saw all the miracles that happened. He had opportunities. He had a choice to make where he's going to come out on. As he saw Jesus giving of himself to serve the people, he didn't see him dipping into that money and seeing what he could make out of it. No, Jesus gave himself and he followed Christ. Judas followed Christ. He saw all that. He had a choice to make the right choice. But we know Judas chose his own way. Dismiss the idea from your mind that Judas didn't have a choice to make. Because Jesus chose Judas to be one of the disciples. And he gave him a high and lofty place. He was actually the one that we don't know if Jesus did or the disciples. But either way, he was the one that was placed in charge of the purse. He had a high and lofty place. Jesus was reaching out to him. He had opportunity just as the Lord was reaching out to him. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And that meant for Judas too. Jesus didn't want to see him perish. Jesus don't want to see you perish today either, or me. Is it I? Am I betraying the Lord with my life? Am I looking right on the outside but not on the inside? Is things not right on the inside? Is it I? Let's look at ourselves today. Today, some people can claim. I've heard of some people that claim that God has predestinated them to a life of sin. There's just nothing that they can do about it. It's just the way God placed them here. We know that's false. The truth of the matter is they're making a choice. They're making a choice of where they're going to be. Judas, in choosing his own way, went to his own place. And he had to suffer the consequences of it. His destiny was determined by his choice. Today, your destiny and my destiny is determined by our choices as well. And our choices determine our destiny. And our destiny helps determine what for choices you're going to make. Where's your focus at in life? Who are you looking to? Are you letting something betray you? And finally, betraying Jesus. Are you letting something deter you from serving Jesus? Something to turn you away from serving Jesus? The second part of the message I'd like to look at. What prompts our betrayal of Christ? What are some things that can prompt us to betray Christ? Turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs 29. Solomon, the proverb writer, has much to say. And we're going to look at this passage. These words he has penned here in Proverbs 29, verse 25. "The fear of man bringeth a snare, The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. All right, so we see from one of our things that we can fall into today is that we get fearful of man. We fear the crowd. We fear about what's going to happen if we go out and leave a witness for Christ. These disciples knew that they were going to have to carry Jesus' message to the people. And I believe Judas was still looking for that earthly kingdom yet. I do believe that. And maybe that is partly as he went through and realized that Jesus was not setting up an earthly kingdom. Maybe that's part of his disconnection. I don't know. But I believe that today we can fear the crowd and it can prompt a deep betrayal of Christ in our life. We don't want to stand out. We don't want to step up boldly and pronounce Christ as we ought to. We get scared of telling others of His work in us. We get scared of confessing Him before man because what are they going to think about us? Betrayals of Christ. Is it I? Am I doing that? I trust not. Let's be men. Let's be women of honor that are stepping up and telling others. Living lives that are telling others as well. Well, let's go back to Judas's life in John chapter 12, verse 5 and 6. And we read that. And we're not going to read it again. But if we think about what prompts our betrayal of Christ, and I believe it can affect us as we are Mennonites living in America today, is the same thing that affected Judas there. The love of money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy 6:10 says that, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." They have betrayed Christ. They erred from the faith. What can prompt our betrayal of Christ? I trust it's not us. But as we live in this land of plenty, you know, there can be the greed for more, the love of gain, the thought of easy money, and the list goes on. When our focus gets shifted off of Jesus and serving Him, let's take care. Let's beware. When we start trusting in our riches more than in the Lord Jesus, we're on slippery slope. Return and repent before you get to where Judas did with it, where he sold his Lord. Is it I? Am I giving the Lord glory for giving us this land and this money that we have? And are we giving the glory to God as we ought to? What is another betrayal? Thing that prompts our betrayal. Psalm 10, verse 2 to 4. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in their devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous whom God abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God, for God is not in all his thoughts. What is one of the things in our lives that can so soon prompt us to betray Christ is pride and living for self. You know, selfishness thinks only about self. It doesn't think about the others. It destroys friendship. It destroys relationships. And it don't care about the people it hurts. Does that sound like Judas? I don't know what all came into Judas's life. But he didn't care about Jesus. I believe Judas maybe he looked at Jesus and said, well, he is all powerful. He's got himself out of so many scrapes, this will be just another time. And we'll have more money in the purse. But he forgot that in his selfishness, he was hurting someone else. Today we can fall into that. We start looking at self and we protect ourselves and we forget that we can harm someone else so much. Little things that can creep into our lives. Let's look at Judas's life again. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 6. Jesus was talking to the group of followers that were following him, and he asked them some hard questions and was getting right down with them. And some of them, in verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. There's some people that said, it's just too hard. We don't get it. We just aren't going to walk, follow you like we had been. Because it's not what we thought. We thought you were going to set up an earthly kingdom. And some of his disciples, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Verse 67, then what said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. It's almost as if Peter is saying, I don't quite understand it all. I don't know quite what you're talking about. But Jesus, you're Christ, and we believe it. And we're still sure that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. He was there with the 12. Many others had turned away. Judas stayed. But my point with this one is, what prompts our betrayal of Christ? Simon Peter made this statement, I believe you. And he's sure that you're the Christ. Jesus, you're the Christ. Where did Judas Iscariot place himself in it? What I want from this is, what can prompt our betrayal of Christ today? Is when we don't believe, when we don't truly believe what the Scripture says. We say, well, yeah, we were raised with the Bible. We believe it. We know it. Why do we like to rebel? If we believe it as the truth, if we believe it as something that to pattern our lives for, why don't we spend more time in it? Why don't we follow it closer? Why do we rebel so quick against what the Scripture says? Why do we so soon let a little bit of pride in our lives? Why do we so soon let a little bit of rebellion creep in? You may say, well, no, we don't. But is it I? You know, the Pharisees oftentimes went by the letter of the law. And what was asked of them? And they made the outside look right. But what did they do when somebody wasn't looking? What do I do when someone's not looking? What do I go to? What do I feed on? What's most important to me? And pretty soon that's rebellion, because we don't take it. If this is the truth, if this is what you truly believe in, do we put our time into feeding ourselves, grasping the truth that's there? Think of the account of the one that swept their house and didn't put anything back in it, and the latter end of them was worse than the first because they didn't fill it with anything. Too many times I find myself not filling my life enough with God's word and the truth that's there, that I leave room for the devil. My focus gets shifted a little bit. You know, there's so much to do and so little of time, we say, and we run from here to there. And we forget the important things. And we don't fill our lives with the truth, and we leave room for the devil. And it leads to rebellion, to what the truth says, and we don't feed on it as we ought to. What prompts our betrayal of Christ today? I believe it's not staying true to God's word, and we start backsliding, which will eventually end in sin. If we don't turn around and renew our commitment to Christ. Matthew 26. Go back to our passage that we read from. I want to read that one verse there again, and I maybe could have put it in my notes, but I didn't. Let's go to Matthew 26 and read that verse again. Matthew chapter 26, verse 56. And I mentioned this earlier in my message, but all this was done that the scripture of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. So you think about that thought again. What can prompt our betrayal of Christ? You know, all the disciples forsook him and fled. Now turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. In verse 11, he's calling his disciples, and look what their response was. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. They forsook all and followed him. In the account when Judas had betrayed Jesus, the disciples forsook him and left. Earlier, when Jesus called them, they forsook all and followed him. A total different focus. As I think of this account, these two accounts, what can prompt our betrayal of Christ? And we can fall into the same thing as what the disciples were. You know, you evaluate your life when you first gave your heart to the Lord, and the desire that was there to serve him faithfully, and the desire to give him all. You forsook all. You didn't care. That's what I felt in my life. And as time goes on, you know, that can change. We get concerned about what the others are going to think about me. We get concerned about standing apart from everyone else. We get concerned about living lives separated from the world. It's easier to live right on that edge of have a little bit of the world and feel like it's good. God calls us to come out from the world and be ye separate. Be separated from the world. Point is, what prompts our betrayal of Christ is when we follow the wrong thing. When they forsook all and followed Jesus, they were heading in the right direction. They were going the right way. They were getting closer to Him. And they were going to getting closer to identifying with Jesus. As He looked at giving His life, they were going to identify with that. Instead of going the other way and forsaking Him and fleeing when the trial did come. But what I want you to think about is this. Who are you following? We can get into this. Something that prompts our betrayal of Christ is when we start following others instead of following God. I believe the disciples wanted Jesus as He set up that earthly kingdom. You know, who's going to be greatest in the kingdom? We had that question the disciples asked Jesus. Who's going to be the greatest? Who's going to be noticed? They lost their focus. We must today follow God fully, forsaking all the world and its allurements. I want to think of Peter. As we think of the disciples following afar off, we say they forsook all. But you know, bold Peter, the man that seemed to always have a quick word, and a man that always was right there and on top of things and willing to speak up and share his mind. He didn't totally forsake our Lord. Verse 58. We see that Peter followed Him afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with his servants to see the end. He was going to see where this comes out at. He made this statement to Jesus, I'm going to follow you everywhere. Jesus said, no, you're not. Before the cock crows three times, you're going to deny me. Before the cock crows, you shall deny me thrice. Let me get that straight. But Peter followed afar off. He was willing to be close. He wanted to live up to what He said. He followed afar off. I believe Peter had a desire to go through and to be with Jesus no matter what came his way. His heart was in the right place. Really? Yes, he made failures. But I want you to think about your own life and my life. We have all made failures. Peter was following afar off. No, he wasn't right up there. He was with the others. He forsook Jesus' side. And as he forsook Jesus' side, he moved himself further away. He was still striving to follow Jesus. And he had failure. Yes, he did. He betrayed his Lord. But he didn't blame the actions. His actions of failure to follow the Lord and to accept the Lord on anyone else. We know his account. After he denied the Lord, verse 75, and Peter remembered the words of Jesus which he said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. He cried great tears for his betrayal of Jesus. Peter accepted the responsibility he had in his betrayal of Jesus. Judas accepted. He took the blame for his betrayal of Jesus. But there was a different outcome. There was a different outcome. I'd like to read now Matthew chapter 27, verse 3 through 10. And look at Judas as he realized the wrong he has committed. Matthew chapter 27, verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, when he saw that Jesus was condemned, he repented himself. And he brought again those 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, It is not lawful to put them in the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers then in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. I want to look at the last part of the message here. The tragic outcome of a life of betrayal. As we look at this account of Judas, we say, what a tragic outcome. Was there forgiveness for Judas? There sure was. Judas was sorrowful for what he had done. He was sorrowful for what he did. Peter was sorrowful for what he did. Two men that came out at a different place. Second Corinthians 7 verse 10 says this, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. Two outcomes. Peter, as he wept bitterly, had a sorrow of repentance. It was something that affected his life. You know, and we know as we read Scripture and we get to Acts chapter 1, and as they look at Judas and his betrayal and his death, Peter was the man that stood up. Excuse me. Peter was the man that stood up and said there in that meeting together, men and brethren, there's a need here. I'm finally grasping what Jesus was telling us here on this earth. That His kingdom is going to be here as a church. And the church has got to go on. And we need somebody to replace Judas. And he steps up to the plate and he starts filling that. His sorrow that worked repentance in his life brought about a fruit that put Peter as a foundation. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. What happened to Judas? We know, as we read in that account, Judas went out and hanged himself. The 30 pieces of silver meant nothing to him anymore. His love of money didn't get him anywhere. When he died, he couldn't take it with him. There was a lost opportunity. Judas cast aside his opportunity to be what God called him to be and his disciple. He went out a lost soul in bitterness. and he hung himself. He sealed his doom. The tragedy of a lost soul. A soul that was sealed for all eternity. Peter made a difference in his life, and we already touched on that. He wept bitterly, but he stood up boldly for his Lord from that time on. As we look at these two men, Jesus held out forgiveness to both of them. One accepted it, one did not. Today, Jesus is holding out forgiveness to you and I. Redemption, forgiveness of sins is available to you and I. Just as it was held out to these two men. The difference is how they responded and how they accepted it. What are you and I going to do? Lord, is it I? Have I put you to shame? Have I betrayed you? Jesus today is still in the way, in the business of forgiving sins. When we come to Him and are open to Him and lay our lives at His feet and weep bitterly and say, I've sinned. Well, Judas's life, we know, as we have evaluated his life, it led to Christ's crucifixion and his death. But it fulfilled God's plan. As we today can betray Jesus, I want to read a passage, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 6. It says this. And they shall fall away to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. When we walk away from Christ, when we walk away from God, and we start down that path, it's as if we ourselves today crucify Jesus afresh. We put him to an open shame. Today, let's evaluate our lives. Lord, is it I? Am I betraying you? Is our sorrow for sin bringing us to the right place? Or is it discouraging us and taking us deeper? Have you reached out and availed yourself to the mercy of God? Judas lived out his life in a two-faced manner. On the outside, he was Jesus' disciple. On the inside, he left Satan take a hold. Where am I at? Where are you at? Lord, is it I? I trust not. Let's evaluate our hearts as we think of Judas. There's two outcomes that we can do. If we find that we've turned our back on Christ, if we find that we've not walked with Him as we ought to, we have two choices: to weep like Peter and come to repentance, or get the death sentence in eternity. Let's kneel for prayer.